Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to be able to spend some time with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Kate Kelly is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Kate's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a longtime friend of ours, a great resource to us. She has been talking to us about a number of topics over the years. But today we're going to talk about a side to her that maybe you didn't know about, and that's her historian side. Kate's written a book. Actually, this is a body of work that she's been working on for a long time that's culminated in a book that I'm holding in my hand called Election Day, an American Holiday in American History, and it's by our good friend Kate Kelly. Kate, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you back.
I'm delighted to be here.
I knew that you were a highly intelligent, very capable person, Kate. I actually didn't know about your history angle, the work that you've done on history, until I got your book. And of course, you know, I mean, I'm just soaking it up. This is a very, very important work that you've done here.
Well, thank you very much. It is a social history of American presidential election days, so it basically focuses on what people did on that particular day. So it talks a little bit about campaigning, but a lot about what the traditions of the day for the people were. How did they celebrate it? Because it really used to be a holiday. And how did they actually go and cast their ballots? And I start from the very beginning of colonial election days and take it up through present day. So it's all-encompassing. And it was a book I wrote about 16 years ago, but every four years I come back to it because I feel as though the messages that it gave me were so important that I just feel like I need to come back and remind people of this history. So
it was originally written
as a library book, and now I've got it out in a paperback form for people.
I'm glad that you did re-release it and updated it, obviously. It's called Election Day, folks. And Kate, before you got here, I was just talking to the audience about the concept of elections. I mean, think about what the concept of an election has, how it's changed the world. Think about how the institution of the election, and I know the book is about presidential elections, but if we just you know, unfocus our eyes just a little bit and think about that broader umbrella concept of an election. When America was doing elections, that was a pretty novel thing around the world, and look what it hath wrought over the last 200 plus years.
Well, exactly, and I know that there are times when our country definitely needs improvement, and I know that people get disheartened by how things are going sometimes, but I think it is very important, and one of the reasons I come back out on the road every 4 years is because we do live in the greatest country in the world, and the fact that we have the freedom to choose our elected officials and that we're judged by a jury of our peers in a court circumstance, if they're, you know, we're guaranteed that kind of protection, is very, very important because these are basic human rights that a lot of people in the world do not have. And, you know, one thing people also forget is how we vote on Election Day is going to be watched by the entire world because what we decide makes a difference to every person on the globe.
What America does hits all the news media all around the world. Kate, let's go back to the origins of the book and the origins of the concept of an election day. Tell us about how it got started.
Well, when the very first settlers came to the United States, they started having church elections. So the very first elections that we ever had were for church elections, and they actually used paper ballots at that time because most of the people who came here early were literate, and so they could actually do paper ballots. We began to shift to different types of voting methods because as voting rights expanded, we didn't necessarily have a literate population, so they moved to things like corn and beans. Early local elections were sometimes held, and the sheriff, by that term I mean the fellow, that was the term used to describe the fellow who ran the elections. It wasn't like the Old West guy with the star on his shirt.
Right.
But the sheriff...
Come back to the corn and beans.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean corn and beans?
They would literally be given, you know, pieces of corn to vote for one candidate or the other. But of course, one of the problems with that, the bean, it was a black bean, and that was actually the origin of the term blackballing, that if a black bean was put in, it meant a vote against something.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with corn and beans was, let's say you had four different offices that needed to have elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
It just got confusing with the amount of stuff going on. So there
I don't know how. I probably couldn't keep up with all that corn. No, I agree.
Exactly. Well, and then sometimes the sheriff would do what he called declaring the choice upon the view, and the election would be held on the village green, and he would basically say, if you're for candidate Smith, stand over to my left, and if you're for candidate Jones, stand to my right.
That's kind of like a caucus.
Well, yes, except the only thing is, of course, how the sheriff felt about the, if, you know, if it was somewhat evenly divided, then the sheriff's opinion held sway because it wasn't like a one-for-one-for-one count. So there were problems with all these different methods that were used. They eventually moved to some form of paper ballot, but the problem with the paper ballot was the literacy. So they came up with a system where they would specifically design a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot, just for the simplicity. I mean, there were different political parties then, but the, each political party would have their own design, and people would know what design they were to take. You could also pick up your ballot at the local newspaper office, because newspapers were totally partisan at that time.
Right.
So you pick up the ballot, and then, you know, a couple days later, you could show up at the polls and turn in your ballot.
What do you, what do you mean newspapers were partisan at that time?
Well, they were blatantly partisan.
Yeah, they were called the Kansas City Democrat or the Dubuque Republican or whatever.
Totally. Now we have to read between the lines.
Now there's some mystique about which way the how far left or right they're leaning, right?
Exactly. And you certainly couldn't pick your ballot up at the local newspaper because that would be scandalous.
Exactly. So. Yeah, exactly. So, very interesting. So now we move forward into the you know, the whole the early two or three election cycles for president were very interesting, weren't they? Because because of the way they were conducted.
Exactly. And of course, a large aspect of it was the creation of the Electoral College. And one of the reasons that they came up with the Electoral College was because the founding fathers could not imagine a day when communication methods would be such that a national population could know enough about a candidate that they could actually cast their ballot.
And then everybody go on one day and cast those ballots. And there was also some level of elitism too, Kate, where some of the politicians did not trust the electorate to do the right thing. We come back, we're going to get Kate to talk to us a little bit more about this. We're going to bring it right up to the current day, right after these messages, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Kate Kelly is our guest. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, Little Chicago, bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. You can find lots of stuff there that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz, W-I-Z. Kate Kelly is our guest. Her new book is called Election Day, An American Holiday in American History. Kate, tell us where it's available, please.
You know, it's available through the Internet and preferably on my website, electiondayhistory.org. It's also just a fun website for people to explore because I've got, you know, tidbits of history on it and all. And so it's a good one to check out anyway.
Let me give you a tip, folks. When you go there to order yours, buy two. And I'm not just sucking up to Kate here. I'm buy two because you're going to want to give one. You're going to think of somebody you're going to want to give one to, and you're not going to want to give them yours. So, Kate, if one of my audience, some of my audience went there to buy one from your website, could they get an autographed copy?
Sure, absolutely.
Would they just put the comments in there that they'd like to have an autographed copy?
That would be great. Yeah.
So, folks, when you go to her site, Election Day. History.com, is that right?
History.org.
Oh, electiondayhistory.org. So when you go there and order Kate's book, tell her you wanted to tell her you heard it on my show and you wanted to autograph it, like I got mine autographed. Kate, let's get, you know, when I think about the founders and all the different variations that we went through of getting the presidents elected and everything, and all the way through. There was the big rigmarole when Adams was kicked out after one term, and you know, Jefferson, the whole Jefferson Aaron Burr thing. I mean, that was a big mess. It's amazing that we've survived after all that, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and I think that's what we have to remember, that there are enough Americans who always believe in the soundness of the system, that the goodness of the policies prevail. And we have gone through some difficult times. We've gone through some very bloody, unpleasant campaigns, and we always emerge okay in the long run. And yes, we've had our bad years of the economy or bad years of political graft or whatever it is, but right eventually prevails because there are enough people out there intending to do right that it does work. And that's
well, and the system is always there. The system is always there for us to modify as we need to learn from it. Speaking of learning from things, you know, we've America has had elections for centuries, all the way back to the Mayflower, I guess, when they held elections on the Mayflower, as far as who would be the leaders of that organization, and maybe, I guess, Jamestown too. So we've had elections for a long time, but it's only been in the last less than 100 years that women have been given the right to vote. Kate?
Exactly, the women have not been
given the right to vote. Up with that?
Well, the very beginning of the election process, actually, only white male landowners had the vote. The about 2 to 3% of the people who were actually here had the right to vote. So we have had our voting rights expanded. Now, interestingly, in New Jersey in 1802 and 1804, women did have the right to vote. And then there was a dreadful election in 1806 about a county, the seat of a county courthouse, the placement, what city it was going to be in. It was a vote where there were 4,200 residents in the community and there were 14,000 ballots cast. Well, they then decided the solution was take the vote away from women.
That wasn't in Chicago, was it?
No, this was in New Jersey. It was one of those things that I have no idea, but I read
it's
lots
called
of
vote
local,
early, vote often.
I read lots of local newspapers after that time, and there was no big outcry against taking the vote away from women. So it was one of those things that, but yet women voted earlier than most people think. In Wyoming in 1869 was the first time women were given the right to vote. So it came slowly. The West was more progressive.
And, of course, African Americans were given the right to vote before women were.
Exactly. But
and was it just African American men? Was it just African American men who could vote then?
Just African American men, and of course they weren't. I mean, I think it was very difficult. You know, there were a lot of lynchings in the South.
Oh yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff. A lot of that history. But so women were given the right to vote. What in the
1920 officially? Yeah.
20 officially.
Yeah.
And of course, that's when all the trouble started, right, Kate?
No, but I would like.
I'm just teasing, Kate. You know I'm teasing.
That. Despite the fact that we do have very broad electorate, possible electorate, we really don't have that great of voter turnout. We will, in the year of 2004, and this is after everything that happened in 2000 with that election, only 55% of the people who were eligible to vote went out and cast a ballot, which means that if people in your audience do nothing else as they get closer to Election Day, they ought to be sure to set aside time for themselves to go and vote, and they ought to call. The college-age population is not great about going out and voting. They may be different this year. But call your neighbors, call your friends, just remind everybody it's important. You know, give somebody a ride to the polls.
Why do you think more people don't vote?
I don't know. I think they think it doesn't make a difference. How does my vote count?
How could one vote make a difference? Tell that to Florida
in
2000.
Totally.
Tell that to Ohio in 2004.
It's such an important right that we have, and we all need to participate and care and take the time to stop by the polls because, you know, it's our obligation, our responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Kate, give us the website again one more time, please.
ElectionDayHistory.org.
ElectionDayHistory.org. The book is called Election Day by our good friend Kate Kelly. Kate, well done. I'm really enjoying it. I'm glad you did this. This is a very important a project for you for this time especially.
Well, thank you very much. I'll come back before Election Day.
Oh, absolutely. We'll get you back a lot of times. Yeah.
Okay.
Kate Kelly, ladies and gentlemen.
Great.
She'll be back, I promise.
Quick break.
Right back with Lloyd Adams. He's in China right after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.